A joy to be with you today. Thank you for allowing us to come and be a part of your worship service and just share with you what the Lord's doing in our lives and in Nepal, in the place of Nepal and the people of Nepal. I'm thankful to be a part of God's family, aren't you? I'm thankful that one day I understood the need that I had. I understood that I was spiritually dead and without any hope. I understood that I was a sinner and I was separated from God. God shined His light in my heart and He helped me to see the way and the truth and the life through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the gospel today. Thankful that it's not dead. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm thankful that it's alive and it works in hearts. We saw that this morning. The gospel was preached and God worked in hearts. He honors the preaching of His word. Amen? Well, please hold your place in Romans chapter number 4 and let's go to Hebrews 11. Romans 4, hold your place. And let's turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to read a couple of verses here, and then we'll come back to Romans 4. I want to look at faith tonight. What is faith? There's a lot of confusing statements, whenever you turn on the TV, you see a lot of confusion about what faith is. And, of course, we don't get our truth from what the TV says. We don't get our truth from Hollywood or what some man says. But we take the truth from God's Word, from the Bible. And the Bible very clearly teaches us what faith is. Look in verse number 1 and 2. Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now when he says the elders there, he's not talking about pastors, he's talking about the Old Testament saints and how God used faith in the Old Testament. They were saved by faith, just like we are today. He gives examples of those who were saved by faith. One of the examples was Enoch, how it said that he walked with God and was not, because God had translated him. Verse number 5, let's read the verse 5 and 6. He said, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Now, this is a good kind of translation. This is not the perversion or the false translation. This was a good translation. I heard heard somebody preach on that, use this verse to preach on different translations. I thought, well, that's a little strange, you know, kind of taking that out of context. But anyway, he said, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Well, what a testimony Enoch had. Well, how would you like to know or be known as the man who pleased God? Well, have that kind of testimony. What an amazing testimony he had. Verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Okay, this is not a time, or this is not a verse for this time only. This is a verse for all eternity, for all times. If you don't have faith, this verse is saying, it's impossible to please God. You can think good thoughts, you can be positive and have positive thinking, you can be religious, you can be knowledgeable, you can be educated, but if you don't have faith, the Bible says, you can't even please God. That's very clearly here written. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What does that mean? Must believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Lord of glory, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then one of the examples that he gives of another example is Abraham, and that's what we're going to look at. Let's just look at verse number 8, start there, and then we'll get back over in Romans 4. So from verse number 8, let's read. He says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Okay, first God did a work in Abraham's heart. God called him out. He didn't even know where he was going. God told him, I'm going to show you a place, and I want you to follow me. And he did. He followed. So first we see God's working in his heart, and then we see a response of faith. And it says, verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. The word tabernacle there just simply means tents. He lived in tents. He went camping all the time. Okay? The heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, Abraham was promised a land for him and his children. But that wasn't the place that he was looking for. He was looking for a place which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That shows that he was looking much farther beyond a geographical land on the planet Earth. But he was looking for the place where he would be with God. And we see that he was a man of faith. Now let's go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4, and we'll start in verse number 17. Paul is using Abraham as an example of being justified by faith without the law. And we know the Bible teaches us you're not going to get saved by good works. You're not going to get saved by following the law of Moses. You're not going to be saved by any other thing but faith. You can't please God without faith. And to be justified means you stand before God and he declares you righteous. Let me just ask you something this morning before we read, or this evening, excuse me. If you stood before God today, would you be justified? Would you stand before him righteous? Would he look at you and be pleased? We know that we're sinners, and in of ourselves, no matter how good we are, we'll never measure up. The Bible says, for all have come short, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We'll never measure up to God's holiness. But is there a way to stand before God and be justified? And of course the answer is yes. How are we justified? We're justified by faith. And let's continue reading. It says in verse number 17, we'll pick up there. Verse 17, chapter number 4 of Romans. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. And even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse number 18. Now, what we're going to see here is how Abraham lived by faith. How did he live by faith? Verse number 18. It says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. How can we stand before God justified? It's through the imputed, or the accounting righteousness of Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of Christ. In other words, when we put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross, when we put our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then God gives us his righteousness through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to you. Your house, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And I pray that you would, Lord, be with my mouth and help me. I need your guidance. I need your help, Lord. And I pray that you would use me in such a way that only you get the glory, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to understand your Word. I pray that you'd open up the eyes of those that may be here today that don't know you, that have never trusted in Christ. And I pray that you'd open their ears to the truth, that they may hear the gospel, that they may hear the Word of God, and that you may work in such a way that they see their need for you and draw them to yourselves, Lord. Bring them under conviction, I pray, that they may be saved. Lord, we know that a time is drawing nigh, Lord. We know that you will return one day. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to go out of this building today with our hearts right with God. And that's the most important thing, Father. We ask that you would help us to bring glory to your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I just want to look at Abraham and his faith today. And the faith that Abraham had, he pleased God with. And so really what I'm preaching on is faith that pleases God. How do I have a faith that pleases God? So many people, they think that faith is stepping out into darkness, and you don't realize what you're stepping into. That's not what faith is. Faith is stepping into God's promises and stepping out and trusting what God has said in His Word. It's not stepping into darkness, and that's what the pagans do. That's what the heathen do. They step into darkness because they have no idea. They walk in darkness. But we understand through the Bible, we understand who God is, we understand truth, and when we make a step of faith, we're stepping into through the trusting of what God has said. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham, he was perfectly content living his life and where he was, but then God came and God called him out of the place where he lived, and God called him away from his homeland, and told him to go to a place that he would later show him. And Abraham, he didn't understand everything that was going on. He didn't understand where he was going. He didn't know how God was going to fulfill the promises in his life. God also promised Abraham that he would have a child. How old was Abraham when he left? When he went on this journey? He was up in years, wasn't he? And it came to a time where he was 90 years old, and he was thinking, how am I going to have a child? Being 90 years old, have you ever heard any 90-year-old people having children? I've never heard of that other than Abraham and Sarah, right? That's just not something you see. Maybe in the, you know, I'm not going. We won't go there. But anyway, you just don't see that today. But it's impossible. But Abraham trusted what God said. Abraham believed in God's word, and he followed after the Lord. How did he do that? How did Abraham become such a great man of faith? That's what I want to look at tonight. We want to look at four different things that we can see about faith that pleases God. Four different things. Number one, Abraham chose to believe against logic and against sight. He chose to believe against logic and against sight. Look at what it says in verse number 17. and 8, or verse number 18 rather, excuse me. It says, against hope, he believed in hope. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to a, you know, to me. Against hope, he believed in hope. In other words, he didn't know how God was going to do it. There, logically speaking, humanly speaking, it was impossible for him to be a father of many nations. There was no way. But he believed God. He couldn't see it. He couldn't understand it. But he believed God. And that's what God wants from us. That's the kind of faith that God wants from us. Like I said, it's not a stepping into darkness, but it's a stepping out and trusting what God has said in the Bible. Trusting what God has promised us in the Bible. Abraham, he was 90 years old. Look with me in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 24 and 25. It says, for we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. Now, this isn't the kind of hope that we use today. All right? This is not. Sometimes we say, I hope it rains today. How many of you farmers have been saying that? I hope it rains today. What does that mean? Well, it might rain today. It might not rain today. We hope it does, but we don't really know, right? That's the kind of hope that we often use today. But when you read about Bible hope, this is an assured hope. We have an assurance that this will happen. But it's hope in the sense of we can't see it and we don't understand it, so we hope for it. Okay? It says we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Abraham, he followed God with patience, trusting what God had said. He didn't understand it, but he followed God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 18. Paul was talking about being persecuted, being afflicted, going through tribulation, going through trials in our lives, and it doesn't mean that God has forgotten about us. Doesn't mean that God has lost His control. But He's allowing these things to happen. In verse number 18, He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I tell you, what we need to have in our lives is an eternal focus. Oftentimes we live our lives in such a temporal way. All we can see is what we have in front of us. All we can see is our lives today. We don't understand what's going to happen tomorrow, and we need to trust that God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God dwells in eternity, the Bible says. He doesn't live in the past. He doesn't live in the future. He lives in eternity. And we only see the present, but God lives in eternity. And by walking by faith, we're trusting that God knows what's going to happen. We don't have to worry about it. That's living by faith. We need to remember who God is. He's immutable. He's unchanging. He's sovereign. He doesn't lose control. He is in perfect control. And He's eternal. Abraham, he chose to walk by faith. And he had, he pleased God. Let's go back to Romans chapter number 4. Secondly, not only did he choose to believe against logic, against what he could see, but he would not dwell on things that were contrary to God's promises. He wouldn't dwell on things that were contrary to God's promises. Look in verse number 19. It says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." What does that mean? His body was dead in the sense that he couldn't produce children. He couldn't have children. Sarah's body was dead. She couldn't have children. It just wasn't possible. But he didn't think about that. That's what that means. He didn't think about it. Why? Because God promised him that he would have a child. God told him he would have a child. And so he trusted what God said over and above what was understood, what he could understand. He trusted in what God, and he would not consider, he would not think about it. You know what happens in our lives? We want to live by faith. We want to do we want to make faith-based decisions. But oftentimes we start thinking about what if, right? What if this is happening? What if this is going on? What if this happens? What am I going to do? God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to dwell on what He says. He wants us to dwell on truth and the promises that we have of God. I'll give you an illustration. One time I was just a little boy and I was riding my bicycle through my neighborhood, and I came to a house. There was a big dog in the yard, and I knew that big dog, he was a mean dog, and he had a loud bark, and I hated that dog, and that dog hated me. It was like a mutual relationship, you know, we hated each other. And I was riding my bicycle, and all of a sudden I heard him behind me, vroom, like that, it barked at me. That's all it took. And suddenly that bicycle became a motorcycle, and I was on that thing, it was on one wheel, and I was flying down through a field. I had no idea where I was going. I was just getting away from that dog. And I was scared to death. And I was thinking in my mind, that dog is right behind me and he's going to bite me and he's going to, you know, eat me alive. And probably eat my bicycle too. And nobody will ever find me. And, you know, my mom will be worried. I was thinking, I'm going to die today because I'm just riding my bicycle, you know. And I got down to the bottom of this field, and there's a drop off, and then there's a ditch. And normally, you know, common sense would tell you stop before you come to something like that. But I was so overcome with fear, I didn't know what to do. And I just rode right over that thing, and I, boom, right in the ditch. Bicycle fell on top of me. And I didn't even think about how badly that hurt. I jumped up and I looked up, and I was expecting that dog to be standing there right above me, getting ready to jump on me and eat me, you know. And the dog wasn't anywhere around. And I got my bicycle, you know, kind of tore it up, got my bicycle, and I pushed it back up. And I looked, on the other side of the field, the dog was way up there, and he wasn't chasing me. I thought, what's wrong with that dog? So I got a little closer, and I realized the dog was on a chain. You see, I was running away from that dog because in my mind, I was thinking that dog is loose. I was making assumptions that I really didn't understand. I didn't know. I was drawing conclusions because of what I thought was going to happen. And you see, Abraham, he didn't understand what was going to happen, but he wouldn't think about. I can imagine Abraham probably in his mind, he battled that constantly. Well, I'm an old man. How am I going to have children? Nope, I'm not going to think about it. And then the next birthday comes. Well, happy 91st birthday. Nope, I'm not going to think about it. He's constantly thinking in his mind battling that, God has promised me, and I'm going to trust in God's promise, and I'm going to move forward by faith. You see, folks, that is the faith that pleases God. When you believe in the truth, I'm not saying, you know what the world says? The world says, well, just follow your heart or believe in your heart, whatever your heart. You know what? The heart, the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? You can't follow your heart. This is what you follow right here. This is what you put your faith in. And you follow after that and don't let it go. Don't let it go. Hide God's words in your heart and don't let it go. Trust in what God says. He will not fail you. Amen? But you know what? Abraham, he wasn't perfect, was he? He wasn't perfect. Sometimes he'd make faithful, faith-based decision. Sometimes he didn't, right? God was faithful to him either way. So he didn't dwell on the things that he didn't understand and things that just seemed impossible. Let's look at number three. Number three, he would not stagger in his walk. He would not stagger in his walk. Verse number 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what does it mean to stagger? It just means to go back and forth, back and forth. And so many Christians are living that way, aren't they? They're going back and forth in their Christian life. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to try to go my own way. I'm going to trust God. I'm gonna follow my heart or whatever. You know, we have to choose which side. As Joshua said, choose who you're going to worship. Choose who you're going to serve. And he said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what he was doing? He was picking his side of the fence. And he's saying, we're going to stay on this side. We're not going to stagger from this side. We're going to stay on this path. Abraham was a man just like any other man. He sinned. He made wrong decisions. He made mistakes. But he always came back to that path. And he always said, this is the way we're going to go. And sometimes he ended up in Egypt and ended up in a mess. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes Abraham didn't do the right thing. But he always came back to the path that God had him on. And he said, we're gonna stay on the path. He didn't stagger. And, you know, James tells us that double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, isn't he? That we can't please God by faith and then please the world and please our flesh. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, right? And that's just the way it is. And Abraham, he loved God. He trusted in God's promises. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 23. Let's turn there real quick. Hebrews 10, 23. This is a great verse right here. So many Christians are wavering in their faith. For a short time, they're faithful to God. They're in church. They're serving God. And then not long after that, they get discouraged and they're just going to stay home and they're not going to, you know, they'd rather do carnal things. And verse 23, chapter 10 of Hebrews, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now listen to this. This is great. For he is faithful that promised. That's our God. Our God is faithful. When we're not faithful, we have a God in heaven who is faithful. And he'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. He is in perfect control, and he knows what is best for you. He knows what you need. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to comfort you. He knows how to use you for his glory. And all he wants you to do is just trust him and walk by faith. Abraham, he walked by faith, and he didn't stagger. Look at back in Romans 4, and we'll finish. Last one. Verse 21. Romans 4, verse 21. He says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Abraham made up his mind that what God said he would do, he would do. That's simple, isn't it? Simple to say. But sometimes it's hard to live it. I'm going to trust God. He said that he would do this. I'm going to trust that he will. Abraham trusted. He was fully persuaded. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you living by faith? Are you fully persuaded in your mind that God will take care of you, that God will use you? Are you fully persuaded that God will fulfill his promises that he gave to you? There's a lot of Christians that deal with doubt, and I tell you, that's a very real thing. But doubt leads to unbelief, doesn't it? Doubt leads to, and we need to focus on what is true. We need to replace that doubt with the truth of God's word. And that's what Abraham did. He trusted in what God had promised, and he was fully persuaded. Lastly, let's look at verse number 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now look at this last part of verse 20. It says, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. You see, his life of faith glorified his God. What about your life tonight? Does your life glorify God? Do the decisions that you make, I'm not talking about a church, I'm talking about in day-to-day life, the decisions that you make, do they glorify God? Do they show, do they prove your faith in Jesus Christ? Or do they prove something else? What does your life say? Does it bring glory to God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for sharing with us, Lord, the truth, and teaching us and helping us to understand who you are. I pray, Lord, that you would work, do a work in hearts, Lord, that only you can do. I pray that you get glory tonight out of it all. I'm going to ask that you be obedient to God tonight. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm asking you tonight that if God is working in your heart, that you would be obedient. If you'd like to come forward and pray, I know that the altar is open for you to do that. Are you living by faith? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can make him the Lord of your life today. You can put your faith in him today and know without any doubt that you belong to him. Know without any doubt that you have eternal life. Will you trust in him today?